Exodus, the 15th chapter. Exodus chapter 15. We've been in this now. This is the fourth sermon that I preached from this passage. And we've been dealing with a particular subject that is definitely needed today. It's making a lot of money for some people, and it's also leading millions of people astray with false doctrine. And one myth that I'm going to deal with today has literally cost someone their life. And it's not just isolated to one person either. So give me a good hearing today. Exodus chapter 15, notice verse 22 down through verse 26. It says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. And as I mentioned to you in previous sermons, the word Lord there is Jehovah that healeth, that's Rapha. He is Jehovah Rapha. He's the God that heals us. But I'm going to be speaking on this subject, the myths of divine healing, part 4. Let's get some help. Father, thank you today for allowing us to be here. Father, thank you for giving us the mindset that we have to be in your house, Father. Father, thank you for sending your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save our souls. And Father, I pray right now that you would just have full control of the service. Father, we turn it over completely to you. And Father, I ask, once again, you'll completely control me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Father, use me today and help me to communicate truth. Father, help me to only say those things you desire for me to say today. And if you don't want me to say them, then Father, please take them away. Please, Father, we ask right now that you'll also minister the hearts, those that are lost in this building who do not know Christ as their Savior. I pray that this will be the day that they fall under Holy Ghost conviction and come and receive your Son Jesus before it's eternally too late. Now, Father, we also ask that you would speak to every heart for those of us who are Christians. Father, help us to determine we're going to be Christian apologists, Father, defenders of the faith. Father, help us, and yet help us not to be drawn into false doctrine and to be blown about that way. Father, please help us to be steadfast in your word and rightly dividing your word. Father, please, once again, we beg you, we need you, take full control now in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, well, just to quickly recap, just in case you weren't here for the previous three messages, and, you know, you can get these messages. They will really help you out. If you can put all of them together, it'll keep you rooted and grounded in this area. But there are a lot of myths out there today concerning divine healing, and a lot of people are making money off of it. And, boy, I'm telling you, we dealt with some things this past Wednesday night and showed you some things. And so if you weren't here, you want to get that message. But the very first message that we dealt with was all sickness comes from the devil. That was a myth, and we dealt with that. All sickness does not come from the devil. Right here in the passage, God said, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord thy God. God himself, he can put things on people. We dealt with that and showed you other passages. And as I told you, even the devil, he's like a dog on a chain. He's only going to be able to do what God allows him to do. And you can look at Job's life and see that. And then the second myth that we dealt with was that all sickness is a direct consequence of sin, or you are backslidden or you don't have enough faith. And we showed you that all sickness is not a direct consequence of sin. Paul was sick, Job was sick, and others, and we dealt with that passage. And so that was the first message, and we dealt with those two myths. And then in message number two, last Sunday, here's another myth that we dealt with, and that is that Jesus died for your sicknesses. And the scripture that people will use is, by his stripes ye are healed. And we showed you from the word of God how that refers to spiritual healing, cleansing of our sins, not physical healing. And the verse that you used before that, we showed you last week how that was fulfilled while Christ was upon the earth, and the Bible even says that. And every scripture that you have in the entire New Testament deals with, when it talks about by your stripes you're healed, is talking about spiritual healing, our sins, our iniquities being forgiven. We dealt with that last Sunday. And then this past Wednesday night, message number three, here's the myth that we dealt with. And that is that many say there are anointed handkerchiefs and cloths today. And so we dealt with that. We gave you illustrations from people and how one evangelist literally, and he just conducted a meeting just this month, in the month of January, down around the Jamaican Islands. And so, but he literally got a woman to give him her house and $696,000, a total of $931,000 that he got her to give to him. And then he took the money and appropriated it for himself, spent 2 years in prison. He's on television today, and he's still going strong. And so, and by the way, he'll be speaking in Georgia too, here coming up. And so, and what I'm saying, and by the way, people flock, just flock to him. And then I told you about now, don't let that get out. But I told you about Rod Parsley. I read something from him about how you need to get your best love gift, your best seed, and send it in so you can get his anointed handkerchief that has the anointing transferred off of him to that handkerchief. We dealt with that. We talked about Marilyn Hickey and others, you know, anointed chopsticks and, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff that other people are trying to do. And we dealt with that passage from Acts chapter 19 and show and dissected it and showed you how they were wrong and then covered other scriptures. Now today, I'm going to deal with two myths, time permitting. Now, the first myth I'm going to deal with today, and by the way, I've taught you this before, so you got to understand, and I do this periodically so you'll know what you're getting. You know an expository message when you hear one. You grab a passage and you pull your points from that passage. But I'm dealing more topical. And so we will take a passage and yet we will have a topic and we'll look at other things. Here is, and so you're getting a topical one today. And so now, what's the myth? First myth we're going to deal with today. And that is, a person is healed when they are slain in the spirit. All right, now that's a myth that's out there today. You see it all around. You see the Benny Hinn crusades where people come up on stage. And by the way, if you don't know what slaying in the spirit is, I started to get a couple of people, but that could turn disastrous if it doesn't work out just right. But I'm going to try it anyway. I need to find somebody. Come up here, Brother Scott. Come on. Brother Fred, come up here. In case you don't know what being slain in the spirit is, all right, you're going to be my helper. You got the anointing on you too, but your anointing is not as strong as mine. Amen, and you're going to turn around and you're going to face me. All right, now Brother Fred, you coming up on stage, you've got some kind of illness, some kind of sickness, and I might ask you a question, you know, what's wrong with you? And then you may tell me, think of an illness that you've got. Got a pain in your back, amen, that's a good one. I like that one, amen. Because, see, I can heal that one. You understand what I'm saying? Because you don't get to see it. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, and so now, what is slaying in the spirit? Now, I can do it one or two ways. I can hit him. Amen, that's a good one. Or I can breathe on him. You've seen it. Now, see, that breath didn't have the anointing because he stayed there. See, that was just an illustration. All right, now here's what being slain in the spirit is, on white man. Being slain in the spirit, when I hit you, get close enough to me, but not too close, we hit you in the mouth. All right? So now, I want you to be able to take it. Now, you gotta trust. This is faith. So you gotta lean back. And you gotta trust that he's gonna catch you. He's been hitting the weight, so I'm trusting too. Like I said, this could turn out disastrous. Amen. But I'm gonna say, take it. All right, let him down, let him down, let him down, let him down. Go all the way down, go all the way down, go out. Ah, yeah, yeah, take it now, take it. Look at him now. Praise God. God's working in this thing. Yes, he's being healed right now of his back. All right, help him up. Help him up. He's been healed. Help him up, help him up, help him up, help him up. All right. Move, 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 move. Ah, good, move, move. Okay, ah, that's good, good. You healed. Go on down, sit down. Praise God, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. Somebody ought to give him some praise. Now, don't do that, but I'm just saying. But here's what I'm saying. That's what being slain in the spirit is. How many of you seen that on television? All right, so hands all over the building. See, so now what they try to teach you is that being slain in the spirit, that literally means that when that happens, hey, God is healing you. The power of God is coming on you, knocking you down. You feel, and man, all of a sudden, brother, you're going through and God's touching you and God's healing you while you're there. Here is the problem with that. The word slain is found 165 times in the Old Testament, 18 times in the New Testament, and not one time is slain in the spirit ever found in the Bible. Not one time is the word slain ever associated with the spirit. Slain in the spirit is nowhere in the Bible. There are times we've been dealing with these myths, but I would take a passage and deal with that passage, but slain in the spirit is just not in the Bible. There are different Hebrew words for the word slain, and the three most used Hebrew words in the Old Testament means to kill or to die. There are different Greek words for the 18 times the word slain is used in the New Testament. And the most used Greek words means to murder, to put to death, to kill outright, to destroy, to slaughter, to butcher. So when someone says that a person was slain in the spirit, they mean that that person was killed, put to death, destroyed, slaughtered, butchered, and murdered by the spirit. That's not happening. By the way, nobody would sign up for that either. What it is people trying to pretend that they have something that they do not. So when someone says that a person was slain in the spirit, by the way, that's a misnomer anyway. It's a misapplied name. They're really trying to keep some things on themselves. So now, if slain in the spirit is not in the Bible, then everything associated with it is wrong and is phony. There's no scriptural basis for it. St. John 16 and verse 13. Look there with me. St. John chapter 16. And notice verse 13. St. John 16. And notice verse number 13. See, we've got a lot of people claiming to be under the leadership of the Holy Spirit and anointed by the Holy Spirit. And by the way, I believe God anoints. Don't misunderstand me. But there's something that the Holy Spirit will do. Notice with me in St. John chapter 16 and verse number 13. It says, howbeit, when he, that personal pronoun refers to the Holy Spirit. How do you know? The Bible is his best commentary. Notice this, the Spirit of truth is come. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall see, shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will guide you into all truth. The Greek word means to show the way. It means to lead. So when someone says, I'm anointed by the Holy Spirit, and you see them slaying people in the spirit, then you just mark it off as not coming from God. The Holy Spirit does not lead that way. That's nothing but a lot of phony, emotional, sensationalism, man-centered, if you please. So don't get taken in by this. And haven't you ever noticed that when those people come up on stage, and by the way, you need to know this, because sometimes you might go on vacation. I mean, you go on vacation and you might decide to go to a church. You've got to make sure you're going to a biblically sound church. So now, haven't you noticed a lot of times when those people come up on stage, isn't it odd that they aren't questioned about their salvation? You notice that I didn't ask Brother Fred one thing about his salvation. The only thing I asked him was, what's wrong with you? What kind of healing do you need? But see, what he needs more than his physical body being healed is his spiritual soul being saved. And God can heal. He is Jehovah Rapha. God still heals. I know, because I know what he did for me. And many of you know what he did for you. God can still heal. Don't misunderstand me. But what I am saying, I'm saying that these faith healers, they're fake. They're phony, and they're slaying in the spirit is not of God. Don't even question the person about their salvation. I have a relative of mine. His wife told me this. Said he was in church. And I've shared this from the pulpit in a different message. Said he was in church. Oh, and they came up to him. And mother, they hit him. Said, and all of a sudden, he started jerking. She said, and that's when he got saved. Do you understand what I'm saying? Brother and sisters, shaking never got anybody saved. You have to repent of your sins and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You say, I don't think people would equate things like that. Oh, you'd be shocked. You'd be shocked. And let me say this, a lot of people know the jargon. A lot of people know the words, but they aren't applying what they hear. Many, I'm not saying all, but many aren't applying what they hear. Look with me. In Matthew chapter 7, look with me in Matthew chapter 7, and I want you to notice verse number 21, Matthew chapter 7, and I want you to notice verse number 21 down through verse number 23. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And we know what the will of the Father is, to believe on him whom he hath sent. And that's Jesus. Verse 22, notice, many, it didn't say a few. It says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. And let me stop right here. We better call him Lord down here. And make him our Lord and repent and trust him, because one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But on that day, he'll be your judge. On this day, he can be your Savior. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. He said, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. One day there's going to be a number of people, many people who are going to be standing around that great white throne. And I can see some now who may offer up, Lord, we prophesied in your name. Lord, we cast out devils in your name. Lord, we did many wonderful works in your name. But Jesus, who is the judge on the throne, because the Bible says the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. And right before he said that, he said, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, that's the living, and the dead at his appearance and his kingdom, preach the word. The Lord Jesus Christ will be the judge. And see, there will be many who will be standing around that throne because they thought and say, hey, man, we've been casting out devils and doing many wonderful works and so forth in your name. But Jesus did not say that I knew you when you lost it, because once you get saved, praise God, you can't lose it. But he said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Listen, there are people who are trusting some things to get them to heaven. But they better be trusting Christ. I told you before, and I wasn't going to get into it, but sometimes you listen to what a person says. I told you how I had an opportunity to witness to, I can't remember the guy's name now, but anyway, he used to be the coach up there at Tennessee. Bruce, I believe his name, Bruce Pearl. And when I was witnessing to Bruce Pearl, and started witnessing, but he was listening. There was a lady that was standing there at the counter, and she was acting all crazy and flirting at the very beginning before I started witnessing to him. And then all of a sudden, once I started witnessing to Bruce Pearl, then all of a sudden, she said, oh, y'all Christians. She said, I'm a Christian too. She said, I spoke in tongues. Listen to me, speaking in tongues, and don't get me started there. But speaking in tongues doesn't save anybody. And you have some who can teach that you've got to have the evidence of speaking in tongues. You get the baptism that way. And I've had them tell me, if you have not the Spirit, you none of He is, and you got to get it in evidence by speaking in tongues. Let me tell you something. When you repent and trust Christ as your Savior, right then and there, the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you. You are born again by the Spirit of God. You don't need a second working of grace. When God saves a man, boy, I'm telling you, so many things transpires in their lives. Listen to me. Don't you get caught up in this thing of being slain with the Spirit, and don't get mad at me if I call somebody's name every now and then. Because the Bible says you're supposed to mark them. You got to expose them so you know not to get caught up in that. But the Benny Hens of this world that get people up there on stage and blowing on them. And you see them, show me that in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. It's not. And so, but think about it. If he was coming down here to Greensboro Coliseum, packed out. And by the way, when we were dealing with the book of Revelation and went through the entire book of Revelation, I told this world is being set up for the Antichrist. It is. It's being set up. And we know the Antichrist is coming in with signs and with wonders. And what do you hear today over and over again? Signs and wonders. Listen, a person is not healed by being slain in the Spirit, because there is no such thing. But thank God, if you need healing, you can come to Jehovah Rapha. You can go to your God and cry out to Him. And God, if He so desires, can touch your body and heal you. And praise God, He won't charge you a dime. You won't have to pay a thing. And when God touches you, you're touched. You're touched. Thank God I have Jehovah Rapha. I don't have to run to somebody's healing line and let them oil me up. Thank God I've got Jehovah Rapha. I've got my God, because I was adopted into His family when I received Christ 34, almost 35 years ago. And I'm glad of that. And He's touched me time and time again. I wonder if He's healed anybody in this room. Sound like you know that He's healed you, that He's touched you. Hey, you don't have to run to these phony, fake faith healers. Thank God we have a God who can heal. So that was the first myth. Let me give you the second myth. Here's the second myth, and I've had to deal with this one in my own family. Here's the second myth. For a Christian to go to a doctor or use medicine shows a lack of faith in God. That's a myth. And you know what's funny? Is that some of the ones when they were a little younger, they would say things. Now, some of them, after they've gotten a little bit older, or some of them, are becoming very inconsistent. Very inconsistent. Because if it's wrong to go to a doctor, then why are you running if you have a broke leg? See, sometimes when it's internal stuff, you deal with it differently than external. And by the way, if you just listen to some of the things that people say, you can see a glaring inconsistency in it. And it doesn't take very long. But I had to deal with this even in my own family. I'm talking about my family here. You know, they're all straight. But I'm talking about, you know, my extended family. Like, you've got, you know, extended family that are not in ministries that would rightly divide the word. And when you get into things like that, then you have problems. You have problems. I had one of my relatives who was canning food because they said the world was going to come to an end because their bishop said it. So they're canning food and stockpiling things, and they had a belief. They said that a credit card was the mark of the beast. So if you have a credit card, then you've received the mark of the beast. If you have a credit card, sometimes you might feel like you're going through the tribulation trying to get it paid off. But that's not the mark of the beast. Matter of fact, for the believers, we won't even be around when the Antichrist is on. We're going to be raptured up out of here. Matter of fact, I preached a message on why the church will not go through the tribulation. But for a Christian to go to a doctor or use medicine shows a lack of faith in God. That's a myth. We need doctors. Jesus even said so. He did. By the way, our Lord was a master at taking a truth, just simple truth, and teaching biblical principles. That's our Lord. Look at Luke chapter 5. Look at Luke chapter 5. I've had to deal with this in my own family. Well, I'm not going to take this medicine because I'm healed. And next thing you know, now we're left to have to deal with it. My family knows what I'm talking about. Luke chapter 5, and notice verse number 31. Luke chapter 5 and verse number 31. And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Now, a sick person, Jesus teaching, needs a doctor, a physician. It's nothing wrong with going to a doctor. Nothing wrong at all. Now, notice verse 30 and verse 32, because verse 31 is sandwiched in between. But the scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Notice verse 32. Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And matter of fact, this story here is related in the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, each one. And so Jesus is saying, hey, I came for a purpose. I came not to call the righteous, but those who are sinners to repentance. So, of course, we're going to be around sinners. But sandwiched in between that is a truth. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. It's okay to go to a doctor. It's okay to use medicine. You've got some traveling evangelists that will literally draw great crowds. And people will come up with certain things and they will tell them, all right, you're healed. And some people will go away thinking, okay, I'm healed, so I don't need to go to my doctor. There was a lady, and this lady went to a meeting. Now, I won't call this evangelist name. If I call him, everybody here would know it. But she went to the meeting, and I won't call his reason because death was involved in it, so I'm not going to call his name. But she went to a meeting, listened to this evangelist, believed him that she was healed, and she would not go to her oncologist and died. Do you see how our doctrine can literally determine our destiny? There isn't anything wrong with going to a doctor because you're not trusting the doctor, you're trusting the Lord, but the Lord can still use the doctor. You've heard me tell the story, the very first time how that I really saw God work and God gets the glory was when I was in the military, my boss's wife. And she called me up. He was sitting there. She called me up. I used to go over to the house and so forth. And I was single at the time. I was still in the military. She called me up. And she said, Greg said, I'm in the hospital. Can you come by and see me? I want you to pray with me before I go in. And so I looked over at Gunny Quinn, and I said, can I go? He said, yeah, you go ahead. And he said, I'll meet you on over there. I finished a few things, I'll meet you over there. I said, I'm gonna go grab my pastor, because I had never really dealt with anything. I was a very young Christian. At that time, I had been saved for like a year and some change. And so I called my pastor up, and he and I went over. And she was supposed to have an operation to have all of her, you know, female organs removed. And so we talked to her. She wasn't saved. And so this time, and sometimes God has to bring a person to a certain level before they'll trust Christ. Sometimes you've got to get down before you're willing to look up. And so he took his Bible and used a verse, 1 John 1:9. We know it applies to Christians, but it can apply to the lost if they'll do what it says. And so he opened the 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he, of course, he shared all the scriptures with her, and he took her through. And he said, would you like to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior? And she said, yes, I would. And so she prayed and asked Christ to come into her heart and save her soul. And then... She said, I'm getting ready to go in. They're getting ready to operate. And he said, here's what we do. We're going to pray over you and ask God to touch you and ask God to heal you. And by the way, he didn't use any prayer cloth. He didn't ask her for any money. But he knew that now our God was her God. And he knew that God could heal. And so we prayed and asked God to heal her. And he said, here's what you do. He said, before they take you in, have them to x-ray you one more time to see if they need to do the operation. And she said, well, they're not going to do it. They're already getting ready. She said, he said, just do it. They'll do it if you ask them. And so she did, and they were very reluctant, but she asked them. And so they took her to x-ray before they took her in, got another x-ray. And when the doctors came back, they came back scratching their heads. And they said, we don't understand this. Said, but we don't have to do this operation. Everything is normal. Only God could do something like that. And God took a lady who would not have been able to have any children. I've been sitting around the table when she's had 4 kids. Sitting around the table. Do you understand what I'm saying? God can heal. Yes, he can. I don't doubt that at all. And it's okay. There are times when he will use a doctor. And there are times when he will astound the doctors and come in and do what the doctor said couldn't be done. But guess who gets the glory? I don't get the glory. My pastor didn't get the glory. God got the glory. And he is the one who should get the glory because he is the one who can heal. Listen, Paul had a doctor traveling with him. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Sometimes some people may feel like they don't have enough faith or something's not right with them because they have to go to a doctor and take medicine. There's nothing wrong with it. Just trust God to use the medicine. Sometimes we have to. They are the whole need. Not a physician, but they that are sick. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Of course, we know Paul had physical problems. We understand that. And we're not here to debate what it was, but we knew that. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14 says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Of course, most Bible scholars will tell you, of course, and right here, Luke was a physician. I won't have you to turn to Philemon, verse 24, only one chapter in Philemon, but Philemon, verse 24, it refers to, it mentions Lucas, which was Luke, who was there with Paul. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, turn there, 2 Timothy chapter 4, you know, Paul doesn't have long to live now, but 2 Timothy chapter 4, notice verse 9 down through verse number 11. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, 9 through 11, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Then he said, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Luke was with Paul till the end. It's not wrong to go to a doctor or to have a doctor or to use medicine. Look with me in 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. As I like to say, and as the scriptures say, line upon line, precept upon precept. Notice 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. And you have those in the Christian Science movement, which is neither Christian nor science, who would teach along the same lines as what I'm saying is wrong to go to a doctor, to use medicine, and so forth. And believe me, I know what I'm talking about because I've had to, unless you understand this and live what I'm saying, you don't know what I'm talking about. But I know what it's like to have to grab and wrestle down one of your relatives because that person wouldn't take their medication. And when they didn't take their medication, then things got off balance. And when things get off balance, I know what it's like to have somebody in my house, not my family, okay, but in my house and bust my window out. And I've got to try to grab the person, take it down because they don't want to take their medicine. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you, there are times when we have to use it. If God doesn't touch us, then it's okay. You still have to trust the Lord. Second Kings, but it all comes from the kind of teaching that you get. Second Kings chapter 20, notice verse 1 down through verse number 7. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. I'm going to stop right here and say, that's why you want to serve God, live for God, because had Hezekiah not lived for God and served God, God was going to take him out right here. But then he was able to reach back into the bank, if you please, and draw out on some of the deposits that he had made through service for the Lord. And the Lord said, I'm going to give you 15 more years. Watch this. And it came to pass, for Isaiah, verse 4, was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I've heard thy prayer. I've seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. Notice, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Now, figs were often used on ulcers and boils. It literally would soften and relax the human tissue. In the parallel passage to this, which is Isaiah chapter 38, don't turn there, but in you can just write it down, but in Isaiah 38 and verse 21 it says, for Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. And the word plaster means there to apply as a medicine. Matter of fact, if you will look in your Strong's Concordance, you will see this word in there, medicinally. Now, wait a minute. God said, I will heal him. But yet, they used natural medicine. They took the clump of figs and made a plaster out of it and literally put it on that boil. And it was 3 days before the healing took place. Look at verse number 8. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, and of course we've already read, you know, verse 5, but I'll read verse 8. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And if you'll check out most Bible scholars, they will tell you that even though the healing that God can touch and God can heal, but there are times when God is still healing, but God can use medicine, and it may take 3 days. Sometimes it may take a month. Sometimes it may take a year, but God still gets the honor and the glory because he's still the one who has to heal. He just uses medicine sometimes to heal, and sometimes our healing is not instantaneous. But divine healing does not always exclude the use of known remedies. But now, for a person to not trust God and just look into the doctors, okay, then that's wrong, because now you're not operating in faith. You understand what I'm saying? But when you go into a doctor, you still trust in the Lord. Still trust in him. We've seen people in this congregation healed over the 20 years I've been here, healed of cancer. Cancer. I don't think you mind me saying this, Brother Larry. Back in the 1990s, colon cancer. Look how good he looks. You understand what I'm saying? Brother, I didn't sweat up a rag and give it to him and lay it on his head. I didn't. I didn't charge him any money. You didn't either. Nobody did. You know what? But I'll tell you what we did do. We prayed. You understand what I'm saying? We prayed. And God touched him. And God healed him. You've heard my testimony. I had 4 different doctors in different places tell me I was going to have my thyroid taken out. I had gotten down to 140 pounds. 140. Now I'm trying to lose a few. I'm serious. You understand what I'm saying? I know that God can touch, and I know that God can heal, but God touched me, God healed me, but I still took medicine. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, I could have said, bless God, God, you're going to heal me, or else I would have been in heaven. Do you understand what I'm saying? But I hear what it is, but it was still all by faith. It was still all by faith. Because even though the doctor said it couldn't be done, I was still trusting God. I got that medication, and I read the side effects like that. And I said, Lord, I'm trusting you not to let me get any of those side effects. And to God be the glory, I didn't get any of those side effects. See, but it was still acting in faith. And God still wants us to act in faith. Look at the scripture in closing. Go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. You there in Kings? Go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And notice verse 7 down through verse number 9. And by the way, I just called Brother Larry, but he's not the only person around here who's been healed. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, notice verse 7 down through verse number 9. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand? Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. Now, he was telling me in verse number one, you're relying on the king of Syria and didn't rely on the Lord your God. Therefore is the Lord of the host, God of Syria, excuse me, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escape out of thine hand. You trust in the wrong thing, he told him. Then he said, you should have looked back and see how you trusted before, what he's saying in verse number eight, how God delivered before in your life. And then he said in verse number nine, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. Here's the problem. He had a trust problem. Asa had a trust problem. All right. Here's a verse that they will use to try to prove it. Not understanding the context that is, Asa had a trust problem. Notice verse number 7. And sometimes when you have a, excuse me, verse number 11. And sometimes when you have a trust problem, sometimes God will bring some things in your life to cause you to trust him. He's brought tests and tests upon the children of Israel. Okay, are you going to do right? He's brought other things in people's life. Even the thing with Job that was allowed to happen in Job's life. If Job going to continue to serve God, is he going to curse him to his face? Notice verse 11. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And this is the verse they'll lose. See, you need to leave them physicians alone. Just trust God. Let me tell you something. You better trust God. But interpret everything within its entire context. And Asa had a trust problem, and God brought some things, evidently allowed some things to happen in his life. And what Asa should have done was trust the Lord to heal him, just like Paul did. Trust the Lord to heal him. But he didn't. He just went straight to the physicians. That's a trust problem. See, if something comes in your life, let's say if you've got a headache, you don't run to the doctor as soon as you have a headache. What do you do? Lord, touch me. Heal me. Okay, if the Lord don't heal me, all right, well, then I'm going over here to CVS. Get me a little something. You know, unless you know a home remedy. And by the way, when I was growing up, people knew some home remedies. And some of them were rough. They were. I still don't know to this day. I had the mumps. I don't know what my grandmother put. She had that thing tied in a rag and had it tied around my head and tied with a knot up top. Foul stuff. Sister didn't want to be around me. Nobody wanted to be. I'm telling you, I'm talking about it. It smelled. But it got rid of them, didn't go to the doctor. But that's still medicine. And God still had to touch me. And if that doesn't work, go to the doctor. I'm not saying every time you have a little ache, run to the doctor because your bank account going to go down real quick. You trust God first. Ask him. And then if he doesn't heal you, there's not anything wrong with going to a doctor. If some child or some adult, let's say if I just jumped over here and all of a sudden I broke my leg, that'd be a sad state, but if I broke my leg, where do you think I'm going? I'm going to the doctor. Now, while I'm going, I'm praying. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm going to the doctor. Now, could God just touch my legs, straighten out and heal it and put everything together? I mean, could he? He could if he wanted to. But he normally don't work that way. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you have to have your balance. Okay, so that's the scripture right there that they'll try to use. Balance it out with all of scripture. There isn't anything wrong with going to a doctor. Jesus said, they that are whole need not a physician, they that are sick. God is Jehovah Rapha. He can still heal. Go to the doctor. Use your medicine. But trust God above everything else. And God can heal your body. As we close, you might be lost in this building today and you know not Christ is your Savior. It makes no difference if your physical body is healed. If your soul is not saved, if you have not repented and trusted Christ, then that means that you will suffer something worse than any sickness that you could ever suffer. And that means you will spend eternity burning in the lake of fire forever and ever. But that's why Jesus came. He came and died on Calvary's cross and shed his blood so that you could have forgiveness of your sins. And praise God, hallelujah, month after next in March of 1980, I trusted Christ. Month after next, that'll be 35 years that I've been saved by the grace of God. And I'm glad that lying in my bunk in March of 1980, I trusted Christ as my Savior. Oh, I was a baptized church member before, but lost without Christ. I had health, but I was lost. But thank God when the transaction took place at 2 a.m. in the morning, I felt clean on the inside. Now, I know salvation is not by feelings. But there are times when it feels real good. God saved my soul. I want to ask you a question. If you died right where you're sitting, do you know for sure that heaven is your home? If not, then you're going to have an opportunity to do something about that today. Let's bow for prayer.